Whenever we take these brief forays into John's gospel, I'm brought right back to my English roots, specifically old classic British comedies. They are in my blood, in my very DNA. I'm thinking here of the greats like Blackadder, Are You Being Served, Mr. Bean. But there is one that is even far more iconic. And although it's a bit older than I am, I have always had an absolutely stupid love for Monty Python. While they've had many memorable lines and sketches over the years, perhaps nothing is as characteristic as their catchphrase, "And now for something completely different." That is what John's gospel is, something completely different. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they share a lot of stories and sayings and teachings. And yes, they all have a unique take on them because they're writing to different audiences. But John is something else altogether. Let's just think about how they begin. So Matthew and Luke start with stories about the birth of Jesus. Mark actually skips the early years altogether and begins with John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. But this fourth gospel, how does it start? In the beginning. Meaning before there was anything that is. In the beginning was God and the Word. They just always were. Together they made everything. And then the Word came to live among us. That is the prologue to John's gospel. It is huge. It's cosmic. It's poetic. And it's easy to see why Clement of Alexandria, who's almost 2,000 years old now, called John's gospel more spiritual than the other three, meaning that it's more interpretive. That's why we get all those translations. John is more theologically inclined, more metaphorical. And it should probably not surprise us then that our reading this morning is as close as that writer gets to actually telling us that Jesus was baptized. Now, as a brief caution before we get there, there are unfortunately two Johns in today's sermon. And that is going to make things very, very confusing. So I'm going to talk about the baptizer on one hand and the evangelist or the writer on the other, because they are not the same person. John the Baptist did not write the Gospel of John. I have no idea who did, but it could not have been him because he dies only partway into the story. Okay, so Jesus' baptism. It obviously happened, and the writer obviously knew about it because that's what the baptizer meant when he said he saw the Spirit descend upon Jesus like a dove. Except here, there's no voice from heaven. No tearing open of the skies, just a dove. A simple bird takes center stage. But what could it mean? Where have we heard about doves before? This doesn't have to be a rhetorical question, although it can be. What came to Noah on the ark? It was a simple dove. It was a dove that announced the world was ready for a new beginning, a new life, a whole new creation. And then that same Jesus, the baptizer twice calls the Lamb of God, another animal from the writer. And this one with an even deeper scriptural resonance. Should not have written that phrase. God provided a lamb to spare Isaac. We had the Paschal lamb that symbolized the salvation of Israel from captivity. And when we get to that part of the story, just before Easter, remember that in the Passover, the Jews were instructed not to break the bones of the lamb before they eat it. That might just come back again. We had a lamb in Isaiah when the suffering servant was called a lamb led to the slaughter. We have a lamb all over the book of Revelation, a lamb who is slain but returns in the ultimate triumph. As one commentator wrote, John likes to layer meaning upon meaning upon meaning, and it means we don't have to choose just one. But the important part here is that this is the Lamb who will take away sins. And not just the sins of Israel, like everybody probably expected, but quite intentionally the sins of the whole world, Jews and Gentiles alike. And that is why we get this reading in the Epiphany season. Because in this time of year, we are celebrating the manifestation of God in human form. And both Johns give us just a little glimpse today of who Jesus is and what he came to do. It's a story that will unfold throughout the year as we hear more about his teachings and his followers. And for now, I think it's almost like the writer doesn't even want to answer the question. Instead, Jesus offers the disciples an invitation, and I'm pretty sure it's one that's still open today. Might even be the same one we offer the world in turn. Come and see. Come and see what Jesus was about. Come and see what God was doing and still is. Come and see the very Lamb of God. For my friends, we have all seen the Messiah, and that news is far too big to keep to ourselves. Amen.
Amen. Amen.